is Daniel Gopar, and welcome to Emacs.out, a podcast that's all about Emacs and nothing but Emacs. We talk about packages, cool configs, and the people who make all of this possible. Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of Emacs.L. Now my guest here is Jason Lewis. Jason Lewis works on Exorcism.io, and I'll just let Jason introduce himself real quickly. So Jason, do you want to go ahead?
Thanks, Daniel. Hi, my name is Jason. I got involved with the Exorcism.io project probably about a year ago, and I created a couple of tracks for it, including the Emacs Lisp track. I also use Emacs every day at work, constantly. I work at a small tech startup in Baltimore called Yet Analytics, mostly programming Clojure. So that's me.
All right, sweet. Yeah. So Emacs for life, right?
Emacs for life.
All right. So first question I always ask is, how did you get into Emacs? What was that journey like?
So it actually hasn't been that long. Really, it was when I started developing in Clojure. I started jumping around text editors back in long ago. I was a hardline Vim partisan, really, even though there's some good environments for different editors, when it comes to Lispy languages, there's just really no substitute for Emacs. So I took the plunge and just really started loving the extensibility of it. Realized that I can use Emacs for my Twitter client and my Slack client, and start writing my own packages for it. So then I started tinkering around in Emacs Lisp and haven't looked back.
All right, sweet. Well, it's a good thing you found Emacs, right?
Yes.
MBI or whatever. All right, so now you work on a project called Exorcism.io. So would you mind giving a quick description of what it is and its goal?
Sure. Exorcism.io is a project that was started a couple of years ago by a programmer named Katrina Owen, and it's quickly grown to encompass tracks in, I think we have about 30 programming languages now, and the gist of it is that whether you're completely new to programming or maybe you know one language and want to learn another, you can do the same set of exercises in different languages, so you can sort of learn about their idiosyncrasies and how they're alike and different. And it's kind of unique compared to some other learn to code kind of projects. In just how many languages it encompasses, and also in that you don't have to do everything in a browser. You can use your editor of choice. It's got a command line client where you can fetch language tracks, anything from JavaScript to Lisp flavored Erlang and everything in between, and submit each attempt at the exercise to the community and get feedback from experts in that area. So maybe you're a JavaScript programmer and you want to try out a Lisp or Python or something like that. Then you can, have people gently suggest, well, I can tell from the way you did this that would make a lot of sense in JavaScript, but have you thought about maybe using recursion here instead of an iterative loop? It's a lot more idiomatic in this language than that, and you can submit multiple iterations of the same thing and continue to get feedback as you improve your responses.
All right, sweet. So one thing, I'm sorry if you mentioned it, but is Exorcism.io also open source, or?
It is. The entire platform, from the command line interface, which is written in Go, to the API for it, which is mostly Ruby now, but we're working on rewriting it in Clojure, to all of the language tracks are up on GitHub under the Exorcism organization. So it's github.com/exorcism with an E, not like the thing with demons. Anyone's welcome to to contribute. It's easy. It's really easy to get started. You just log in, get started with Exorcism. You just log in with GitHub. And if you want to help out with the projects, there's a really active community around both the core platform and the language tracks. And there's also a lot of, there's several channels on Gitter chat that are very active, both for support and for the developers. People want to contribute to developing to talk to each other.
So Exorcism.io has a plethora of languages that you can do. And one of them is an ELIS track, yes. The Emacs list track. So I'm curious, what motivated you to create that track?
It kind of happened almost by accident. I got into this because at the time there was a common list track and a closure track, and I tweeted to Katrina, the project's founder, "Hey, are there any plans for a scheme track?" And she replied, "There is if you want to start one." After a while, we sort of like reorganized things so that the maintainers of the different list tracks had a group on GitHub where we could sort of help each other out, keeping them in sync. And it was really just on one of those developer chats on Gitter where trying to write a client for Exorcism itself. As a major mode in Emacs, one of the developers from the common list track suggested, I really want to brush up on my Emacs list. Would you be interested in starting an Emacs list track? And I was like, well, I'm not that great at Emacs list, but maybe starting a track would be a way for me to get better at it. So I just started implementing the exercises I'd already done in Scheme in Emacs list, and it just kind of grew from there.
So now that you started the ELISP track and everything, how much attention is it receiving?
It's not the most popular track. I think like probably Ruby, JavaScript, and Python are the most active. But I think the last time I checked the stats, we were getting like maybe like 22 people a month doing the first few exercises and at least trying it out. The stats page is currently a work in progress, so I don't know exactly how accurate that is, it's kind of a niche target, but I think when people do find out about it, then they're at least curious enough to try it out and see how it compares to other Lisps or they're already Emacs users and they're like, oh yeah, I never got around to actually learning to extend my editor in insane ways. So
yeah, well, hopefully after people hearing this podcast, they'll want to go ahead and try it.
I hope so.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the stats page and from the looks of it, it looks that Emacs list is more popular than Objective-C and SQL, but it's tied with PHP. So I don't know.
Well, if we can outpace PHP, then I'll consider it a success.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So when you're creating the tracks, what concepts are you introducing? Is it just simple problems and if they are you also encouraging unit tests along with them, or how is it laid out?
I think one of the things that first really attracted me to Exorcism and sort of like its workflow or design philosophy is the fact that it's completely based around unit tests. So for the ELISP track, I chose to use ERT because it's the only thing I'd used. I've looked around and there's some more XUnit style testing suites for ELISP that I haven't really played with, but I think one of the things that I enjoy about using ERT with these is that you can have two buffers open, one with your working code and one with your tests, and just swap between them and just test as you're solving the problems without ever leaving the exercises. As an example, like one of the very first exercises is one called Bob, where you basically have to simulate an angry teenager who responds to things that are shouted with chill out, or things that are silent or an empty string with fine B that way, and so on. And so the test will have like, you know, about like 20 different strings that match these criteria. So you need to implement code that will, you know, figure out the correct response based on the input. So you can go through and MedX, ERT, and just pick the test you want to run and be like, okay, all of those work. So I think that's a really nice workflow as opposed to some other environments where you really can't just stay within the editor. You have to jump back and forth between the shell and your working environment in order to run the tests. As far as concepts go, it's kind of all over the place. One thing I mentioned was that one of the goals is to be able to, for the most part, do the same exercises in different languages, so you can sort of see how they're alike and different. So there's a repository with at least general readmes and various languages have different examples of probably about 50 or 60 different exercises that range from things that are simple string comparison to point RNA transcription problems to various math. Math things like you might see in Project Euler. Implement the sieve of Eratosthenes to find primes and things like that. And you find out that Emacs is really great. ELISP is really great at some of the string problems because that's what you do in a text editor all the time. So ELISP is really going to deal with that well. Whereas when I tried to do the Erlang track and I was like, how do I deal with strings in Erlang? The documentation basically said, Erlang is not meant to deal well with strings, so don't. So it wasn't exactly helpful, but I learned something, you know. So there's a wide variety of concepts. One thing that we have discussed, especially when it comes into the sort of like small circle of Lisp, because we've got Clojure, Emacs Lisp, Scheme, Racket, Common Lisp, and now Lisp flavored Erlang is looking at the idea of, okay, so some languages are actually especially suited to deal with particular problems. So I think sort of in the over the next several months, we're going to start dealing with like a subset of problems that are language specific. So in the case of Emacs Lisp, I'm looking at what are some problems that I could write for buffer manipulation, which isn't even really a concept in things that aren't embedded in text editors for the most part. But Emacs Lisp is designed for.
Yeah. With the exercises that you're creating, are you planning on creating exercises that integrate with Emacs itself or collide with Emacs? And by that I mean showing simple examples of how to do, for example, a minor mode or a major mode, or how to customize a certain package, things like that of that nature.
I think that falls into sort of that category of the more language track specific types of problems, and I really would like to come up with some exercises like that. If anybody has any ideas about what those would look like and wants to open an issue on on GitHub, then I'd love to take a shot at it, or even better, I'd love to see a pull request for it. But I haven't really thought through, like, you know, what an exercise to implement a minor mode would be. But I'm always trying to think in that direction of, like, you know, there are conceivably some problems already out there where, like, you know, doing something with, if you have a list of numbers and want to get the primes, then having a minor mode where evaluating a form returns the primes. And so that way you get both the original exercise and also the sort of extended experience of manipulating Emacs itself. So I'm always on the lookout for opportunities to do that, but not quite there yet.
Yeah. So yeah, if anybody wants to help out, then feel free to make a PR or submit some ideas on GitHub. Yeah. Also, if you guys are able to do this, it would be like an excellent resource to, you know, kind of point beginners at, you know, is like, hey, there's this guy, you know, this helps you set up your, teaches you how to configure Emacs, and it's a little guide as well. So that would be pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah. I think there's on the about page for the ELISP track, one of the sections points to probably a prejudiced guide to setting up Emacs. I mentioned things like Bojar Badasov's Prelude package, which I use, I tried setting up my own Emacs config from scratch half a dozen times before I found that, and I was just like, oh, this has everything I need. So just like to get people up and running, I point to some things like that and some initial getting started guides, but always suggestions and PRs for documentation are at least, if not more valuable than ones for code.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So now that you've been creating an ELISP track and figured the whole thing out, how comfortable are you with, or how did you get comfortable with ELISP? Since I know that you mentioned that you wanted to brush up on your ELISP skills, so how would you say you've progressed, or how did you get comfortable?
A lot of time spent on Emacs Wiki, I think actually what helped me the most was the fact that I wrote a not very good, and I haven't updated it in a while, but the process of writing a client for ExerSystem itself as an interactive mode before I started trying to just do these low level things, like I think that's just sort of how I've always gotten my feet wet with different programming languages environments, is like I just dive in head first and try to do something way, way beyond my capabilities and pick up enough along the way that then I can come back to like, you know, actual more basic things and actually understand what I was trying to do and where I went wrong in the first place.
Okay. All right. So I'm also guessing you have...
Knowing that I can always back up my Emacs.d, and I'm not really going to break anything. So
So I'm guessing that you have the code for the Emacs package somewhere in your GitHub as well, or
I do. I think that one's under my personal GitHub. I can post in the chat on the side there.
So maybe if you like, you can tell people to also come out and help you out on that. I mean, that would be awesome as well.
Yes, that would be fantastic. It's github.com/canweriotnow. ExerSystem-Emacs. And I'll put down the little side chat there. If anyone wants to take a stab at that, the version that's currently there, I think if you look through it, you can kind of tell that I wrapped shell calls out to the existing command line client in the first version, and then started trying to do something that was pure ELISP. And that's where I kind of got hung up at the time, which was a while ago. So once I get a little more time to devote to that, I've been sort of backing off from it because Extra Systems gone through some iterations on its own API. So I wanted to wait till those were nailed down. And now that things are slowing down with the rapid API development, I'm going to try to get back into that and try to write something that's just pure ELISP and doesn't depend on the binary client at all.
Okay. So on the email, before we got into doing this podcast, before, when I was reaching out to you, you mentioned that you used org mode to basically manage all things. And I'm curious, how do you manage to do that? Since personally, people that know me know that I'm not the biggest org mode user. So I'm just curious on how people use it to manage everything. So yeah.
Sure. I had some friends who were Emacs users back when the whole GTD, getting things done, organizational style was like a huge fad, especially among programmers. And people were like org mode is perfectly suited to this. And I was like, I think I'm too one, I don't use Emacs, and two, I think I'm too disorganized for any kind of organizational strategy. You know, once I started using Emacs, those same friends came back and were like, "So are you using org mode yet?" I'm just like, I really don't see what is, it's just checklist, right? And they're like, "Oh no, man, you don't know. It's so much more than checklist." So I find it really useful in my like programming workflow that instead of like you know, necessarily littering, especially when it comes to like code for work and stuff like that, littering my code with comments that are really just for me to remember to do something later, and like aren't really relevant to the rest of the team, being able to just hit Control CC and do org capture and just you know, capture it to a file for later, so that I, you know, it's just out of my brain and I can go on working. So I think that's a big one for me that got me using it. And then once I you know, had these capture files of all these things, then I realized, like, wait a minute, this would also be really useful, you know, for, you know, not just like while encoding, but when I have ideas for a talk or a blog post. And the talk one was the one that really clinched it, because like I'd be like, you know, reading a bunch of stuff, and I just like, you know, org capture something. I've used Reveal.js for talk slides for years, and org actually has an export mode for creating Reveal.js slides from org mode documents. So I just like be using org capture to capture my thoughts, and then just like, you know, just like, you know, move stuff around, just like yanking stuff off the kill ring and, adding in like some bullet points, between them, and then just do the OX reveal export, and my deck would be done. And I used to spend hours building slides and like editing like, you know, these like HTML documents and tweaking the JavaScript. And now I'm just like, you know, like, I create an outline without really thinking about it using org capture, tweak it a little bit, and do an export. And it's like, okay, Emacs wrote my presentation for me. So you know, I use it like it's sort of like a day-to-day agenda kind of thing, to some degree, but mostly just for like, you know, like capturing thoughts. So I'm not like scribbling down notes and losing them and things like that. And I just find that it org mode has been like a really big productivity boost. Not necessarily constantly using it in like sort of like the outline scheduling agenda style, although I do use that, but just for like capturing things so they're not like, you know, taking up brain space that I need for something else.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, so Yeah, whenever I ask people, they usually say something pretty cool, and I mean your reasons are valid too, and I think I'll eventually get around to using Nordic mode. I'm starting to slowly using it, but yeah, I'm in the same path as you. I'm kind of like, do I really need to use org mode? But we'll see. Maybe eventually I'll get dragged into it. So let's see. So since Exorcism is open source, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't cover every single language yet. So if I was interested in creating a track for a new language, what would that process look like?
It's actually really informal. You could tweet to at exorcism underscore IO and be like, hey, I like this, but there's you guys don't have a track for Snowball yet. The general community attitude of the community is like, even if it is something as I don't know if anybody's actually ever written anything in Snowball in the last like 30 years, but there'd probably be enough curiosity that it would be like, oh, you can still run that someplace? Okay. Here's a repo, here's sort of the guidelines, here's access rights, and get started. And there's just sort of a checklist. Generally whenever Katrina creates one of the repos for one of the tracks, there's like this checklist, and it's like, have 10 complete exercises, have like ideally like two or three people willing to keep an eye on the track on the site and provide feedback for new users, documentation, stuff like that. Is the first track Hello World, and just some like general just general things about like making sure the documentation's correct, having a certain number of exercises, and making sure there's at least a couple people who are gonna be paying attention so that new users don't come in and like not get any feedback. But really, tweeting or going on the Exorcism dev Gitter channel, or sending an email to I can't remember the contact email listed on Exorcism, but really just saying, I'd really like to see this exist, I'd be willing to make it happen, is pretty much all it takes.
All right, so my next question is, actually this just came to thought. So is there like a BIM script track on Exorcism.io or not really? Do you know?
Not the last time I looked.
All right, sweet.
I think I think probably, and someone like Tim Pope might disagree with me on this, but like eLisp is really a complete Lisp. You can write non-trivial programs entirely in eLisp that just happen to run within Emacs, which I think is why like Vim users like to say Emacs is a great operating system that just needs a good text editor. I think Vim script really, I'll probably get some hate mail for this, but Vim script really is just like configuration script. And isn't like the absurdly rich Turing complete language that Emacs Lisp is.
All right. So my next question is, are you the only Emacs user in Exorcism.io, or do you know there's other ones? Since usually we're like a small breed within every community.
No, there definitely are other ones. I think in some of the in some of the more like some of the tracks that like attract more like really really new programmers like Ruby and Python and JavaScript, then like you've got like a lot of like Sublime and Atom users. Definitely within the Lispier tracks. I think actually one of the one of the contributors to the Lisp-flavored Erlang track for Exorcism wrote the LFE.EL major mode for Lisp-flavored Erlang for Emacs, and pretty much all of the folks who are on the Common Lisp track use Emacs primarily, if not exclusively. So definitely in the Lisp in the Lispy tracks, but there's definitely people all over the place. I think one of the things that last year at some point, I think there was we did like a community survey. And the one thing that I was surprised wasn't on it is like, you know, what editor are you using with Exorcism and how's that working out for you? So I think when we do the next one of those, then we'll probably stick that on there and maybe get a flame war started or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, basically that's pretty much it. Do you have anything you'd like to share? It doesn't have to be Emacs specific. I mean, it can be a movie, a book, it can be anything really. That you'd like to share?
So one of the things that I do kind of try to promote all over the place is if you're interested in Clojure in particular, but it's also a book with a really great chapter on setting up Emacs to use with Clojure, is Clojure for the Brave and True by Daniel Higginbotham. It's one of the most entertaining and well-written programming books that I've read in several years. So I highly recommend it, even if you're just curious about Clojure. Like, you can buy it, or the entire book is available at braveclojure.com. Put that in a little sidebar.
Yeah, no, yeah, so definitely. Clojure for the Brave, you said?
Clojure for the Brave and True. And you get to do things like, recursive vampire hunting code and feed your war pig. So it's pretty cool. The only comment I've been making about movies lately is that Straight Outta Compton got robbed. great movie, and it should have been up at the Oscars. So
okay, all right. So what I basically recommend is I work on I do some Django, and which is a Python web framework. Mm-hmm. And I recently bought a book called Two Scoops of Django, which is basically a best practice book. And it's written by Daniel Roy Greenfield and Andre Roy Greenfield. And I mean, I like it. It's pretty simple to understand. I mean, I think it's the best technical book I've ever read in terms of simplicity and how easy it is to understand. And I really enjoy it. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So thank you for being on the show.
All right. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no problem. All right. Bye.
We'll see you later.